All right, what's shaking, Red Nation? This is one of the first emergency pods we've done in a long time here at the Dream Take, but I think last night's events warranted just that here. And we recorded last night's episode, and there was a whole lot about Christian Wood and why he wasn't starting, and that was the focus of that episode. So if you want to go get some context of that, please click on our last episode and give that a listen. But that episode was recorded and published before any of the Kevin Porter Jr. news was released last night. So there's a whole lot to talk about. Mike and I decided, you know what, we need to talk about this even more. So I'm going to bring Mike up here to talk about this because, Mike, always a pleasure to pod with you, maybe on better circumstances, but maybe that's why this whole fight happened, because they wanted another bonus episode of the Dream Take.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. It's so funny because we rapped last night and then it just hit the fan.
Almost immediately after we rapped.
Yeah, like I put my phone down and I'm like, all right, I don't even remember what time it was. I think it was right around 10:30, and I was like, all right, get a good night's sleep. Dolphins have a big game today. And then I'm like, whoa, here comes – I think it was Tim McMahon first, and then Shams just blew the lid off of this thing. I have a lot of thoughts, man. But
yeah,
most importantly, we give a timeline of what happened and how it happened.
Yeah, so let's give the facts first, because I think it's important in this story to separate the facts from the opinions. So we're going to talk about the facts first and what we know as of right now. Obviously, this story is developing. We might get more information as Sunday kind of stretches out and Monday as well. So, but this is the time that we were able to do this. So we're going to give the facts as to what we know up until this point at just after 10 a.m. Houston time on Sunday, January 2nd. So we started off with last night. Christian Wood was not to be seen in the starting lineup. No explanation given, none of that. Then he is shooting 0 for 4 from the field and has a poor night. And then at halftime, there's this whole debacle in the locker room. They are almost late to the court to start the third quarter. And we see that Kevin Porter isn't there and that Christian Wood isn't starting. But the we were so hyper-focused on Christian Wood that we totally missed the fact that Kevin Porter was not there. And I think, Mike, that we had talked about it last night about how we thought that Kevin Porter might have been injured, so that's why he wasn't playing. He only played 16 minutes last night, and there was a second half of a back-to-back. Like, we didn't even really think about the fact that Kevin Porter wasn't there because we were so hyper-focused on why Christian Wood wasn't in there. Wood refuses to sub into the second half. And I think we talked with Alex last night who jumped up on stage, and he was like, yeah, well, by the time it was time for Christian Wood to come in, you know, it seemed like the game had already ended. So that's why we thought that, okay, that's all that there is to Christian Wood. Then Steven Silas comes and says that Christian Wood broke a team rule. We learned later that that rule was missing a COVID test, according to Shams from The Athletic. But then we also learned that Kevin Porter is told during that halftime spiel that he would not play in the second half, and that is why he leaves the arena. And then we learned from Kelly Eco from The Athletic that the team had reached out with Kevin Porter and that Kevin Porter expressed remorse over the situation. So what we currently have is no word from Christian Wood, but we have word from Kevin Porter that he is apologetic over what happened. So is there anything else that I haven't said yet that is important to say, Mike?
No, I don't think so. Let me start here, right?
Yeah. Well, also, Don Knock in the comments is saying that the broadcast announced that Kevin Porter was out because of his quad injury, and that might have been true. But at the same time, even if he wasn't, you know, he wasn't even in the arena. He couldn't have played. So
yeah.
There's a whole lot. And the thing is this, Steven Silas, during that press conference, we were talking about, you know, whether he was throwing the team under the bus or anything like that. But he was trying to hide a lot of it based off of spirited debate is a very light term for what happened yeah. in that locker room. He was trying to save face because he didn't think any of this would come out. And we were talking about this, Mike, in the past about there being potentially a leak within the Rockets. And there definitely is a leak. I think that is a very easy statement to make after all of the news that came out immediately after the game last night.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I don't think anybody is talking about. I mean, these issues are – I mean, I've been on Twitter, you know, nonstop over the last few hours. This has divided the Rockets fan base because either your team – Kevin Porter Jr. is 21 years old. He's going to make mistakes. I loved your tweet last night about it. Or you want him gone. You want him cut. He's not worth the headache. There's that part of this. I actually, after sleeping on it, do I think Kevin Porter Jr. was in the wrong? Absolutely. But I'm not ready to cut bait with Kevin Porter Jr. I don't think what he did was worth simply cutting him and moving on. I think he had an overreaction. I think the losses have started to pile up on this team. But between Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood, I have a much bigger problem with what Christian Wood did and the way he acted than Kevin Porter Jr. And I think the leak is a massive problem. And I think I know who it is. But I'm not going to – I have no personal knowledge.
I don't
knowledge,
really think it matters about
no,
who
no,
the
no.
leak is.
But I know – but Mike, I – yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I have no – I want to state that, you know, I have no idea. But I think I know and I have an idea, and it makes a lot of sense to me just as a fan. But, yeah, between the two guys – the Christian Wood part of this is much more troubling than the Kevin Porter Jr. part of this in my eyes.
Yeah, and Mike, I think most fans agree with you. At least the 400-plus votes on a poll that I just put up on my Twitter about 30 minutes before we came on here, almost 63% of fans believe that Christian Wood is most at fault for last night's spirited debate. And Kevin Porter came in second with 23% of the vote. Steven Silas came in with 7% of the vote. And Lucas came in fourth with under 7% of the vote. So I think most fans are agreeing with you on this. But let's try to look at this from Christian Wood's perspective here. And I'm not trying to justify anything that any of these people did. But I'm just trying to kind of maybe give clarity in our very limited perspective as to what happened last night. So Christian Wood, he comes into the game. Well, he comes into the day. He misses the COVID test. He doesn't start. And obviously he's frustrated by that. But then he shows on the court, and this isn't the first time that we've seen Christian Wood kind of dog in, like just kind of push through and not really – get involved, get engaged on the court as much as he could have been. In last night's game wasn't that first act. So I think when it comes to Christian Wood, his play was affected by what happened off the court, and that's an issue, especially for a guy that you're counting on to be one of your best players. It's of the opinion where whatever happens off the court shouldn't affect what happens on the court. And Christian Wood has that's something in his game that he needs to work on, is he needs to be able to put everything that's bothering him, at least for the off the court stuff, aside. That's what's holding him back, honestly, because the talent is there with Christian Wood. The talent is most definitely there with him. We've seen him put 20 and 20 games this season, as you know, against some good opponents too. So right. Christian Wood's talent is there, but that is what's holding him back. And last night was a perfect example of it.
Yeah. It's, It's between the ears for Wood. I think here's where I land with this whole thing, and you can tell me if I'm wrong for thinking this. The difference between what Christian Wood did and Kevin Porter Jr. did, for me, it showed actually Kevin Porter Jr. gives a damn. You know,
but like, also, Mike, we don't know exactly who Kevin Porter was mad at. And sure, that sure. I think that is important in this context, because if he's mad at Christian Wood for dogging it in and all of that, then yeah, I think maybe there's reason to be mad there. But if he's mad at John Lucas because John Lucas isn't fully supporting what he's doing on the court for that night, then there's two different scenarios there. Being mad at Christian Wood is definitely different than being mad at John Lucas.
Sure. I think it comes down to he was frustrated, he was angry. Yes, I think it's important for context who he was mad at. But the fact is, he messed up by leaving the arena. You don't do that. That 100%, you suspend him, you fine him. But this is a guy that we know at the beginning of the year, things change, but he credited John Lucas with how close they are. And part of the reporting is that Lucas readdressed an issue that Kevin Porter Jr. had when he was on the bench during the first half. Lucas brings it up again. Kevin Porter Jr. gets heated. He gets angry. He was getting worked by Facundo Campazzo last night, which is not acceptable. And he probably was upset with Wood. He's probably upset with Wood. He's probably upset at losing. He's upset with a lot of things. The difference is, though, Christian Wood showed last night he doesn't give a damn about this organization. He doesn't give a damn about his teammates. He doesn't care about anything outside of himself. Everything that he did last night, he brought upon himself. The two big components of that, A, missing a COVID test, not acceptable if you want to be a leader on the team. I get it. Things happen, but you still missed that test. The second thing is you refused to sub into the game. How big of a dog loser do you have to be to refuse to enter a game? That is disrespecting your coaching staff, your organization, and your teammates. And if I'm the Rockets, I tell him, you know what? We're done. You want to do this? You want to act like an entitled little baby? They did the same thing with Harden. You know, they told Harden, stay away until we move you. This is no different. You move Christian Wood as soon as possible. Because I'm done trying to give Christian Wood the benefit of the doubt. We've been doing this the entire season. We go back and forth. Is he a five-year, $120 million type of guy? Is he worth the hassle? This is not the first time Christian Wood has shown his true colors, and it's time for the Rockets to move on, is the way I see it, with what he did last night. Completely unacceptable, refusing to sub into a game. There's the door. You can stay away for as long as it takes for us to move you. I trade him for 70 cents on the dollar at this point.
And that's why I don't think they should just trade him right away. I think that what he did is just not – it's not a good look. And it's interesting because I think the stories last night – now sleeping on it, it's different. But I think the stories last night really tried to paint Kevin Porter Jr. in the worst light, because he has had incidents before in previous stops in Cleveland at USC. And I feel like it was, okay, yeah, this is believable. I'm going to run it. And, I mean, it's true. He wasn't in the arena, so that was something that was easier to paint, whereas Christian Woods was a little bit more difficult only because, he was there and there was more details surrounding it and all of that. So I think now, as we've kind of let the story marinate for, you know, I guess 12 hours or not even 12 hours, but I think now it's becoming apparent that Christian Wood is an issue resolved quickly. And if it doesn't, then they need to end the relationship. With Kevin Porter, it's a little bit different because there is more invested in him, I'd say. And because I think there's more to it, but also at the same time, Mike, this is speculation you've speculated a lot, and that's, you know, that's fine. I asked you to speculate. So, but like, I want to just make it clear what is facts and what is speculation at this point, because I don't want to have this kind of muddied in. And then when a decision is made off of this, you know, like it'd be totally different than what people are expecting. So I think it's time to bring up people here. Let's get opinions in here. We've got Prodigy from Apollo Houston coming up to speak. So I'm gonna bring him on up. Prodigy, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
What's up, everyone? Thanks for having me.
What's up, man?
Drop your take.
A little bit on the trade Christian's right now. I think when it comes to these things, a lot of it ends up going down the way you paint it to be. And right now, it looks really bad, right? But at least for Christian Wood, if they don't suspend Christian Wood, if they bring him right back next game and he plays hard and they somehow, I think a month from now at the deadline, you can convince maybe.
Prodigy there?
A little flare up from, I don't know, a team that's lost 8 in a row, and that's fine. But then you need to move him, because this is probably your premium tradable asset, right? And it's really risky to keep him longer than that, because he's shown to be really unstable and to be from an attitude. It's not the first time that he just doesn't care on the court. I think last night was the peak of him not caring, because he was settling for jump shots a bunch. He was, when he wasn't getting the ball, you name it, or he was trying to do his wing, trying to be a wing type stuff, and it really didn't work. He started by ball, and he was struggling, right?
Yeah, you kind of cut in and out for part of that, but I think we got most of what you were saying. But if there's something that we are not grabbing from your take, then feel free to interject. But to be honest, like, can the team suspend Christian Wood? Because that's also something that is I think that's something up for debate here, because they punished him for missing the COVID test. So, and then they also claimed that him not playing in the second half was a coach's decision. So what would they be suspending him for that they already haven't punished him for?
Because he refused to sub in.
But if Steven Silas said it was a coach's decision.
But we all know. But we all know that the Rockets lied multiple times on their official statements last night. We know that the leg injury for Kevin Porter Jr. was bullshit.
But was it, though? See, yes. That to me, Mike, is I don't think that was BS, because he has had an injury. Like, but again, like, yeah, there is some cloudiness about that, because, you know, he left the arena. So even if he was able to play, we don't know.
But he only left. He left based on the story. The way that the story is cited, according to sources, officially, is that Kevin Porter Jr., due to his actions in the locker room, the coaching staff told him he would not be playing in the second half. The broadcast team then says it's
because of his thigh.
No, there's no way. That doesn't make any sense. The team said, because of his actions, you're not playing in the second half. He gets upset. He leaves the arena. Then the broadcast team is told that it's because of his injury, which doesn't make any sense. He's not even there.
I mean, but that's the thing, is we're taking now reporters' words from unnamed sources, and we're taking the team's source, who have their, like, who are reliable sources. We have to assume that whatever, anything that the Rockets themselves make as a statement is fact. We have to assume that. That is the strongest source that we have, is the team itself. And okay, at least to me, that's, you know, that's my, like, because they cannot lie. They cannot, like, they can't just tell you a story and have it be false. Like, they can't, they are not able to do that. Otherwise, they get, you know, they get in massive trouble. If it's an unnamed source, a leak, an unofficial leak, they can tell you whatever they want. They can tell you that, the sky is falling, and if you write a story about it, then that's an unnamed source, and then the reporter's the one that looks like the idiot if the sky isn't really falling.
I mean, that's fair.
You have to take it from the point of with KPK, they have more time. That he's not someone that they might look to trade. He's someone who's restricted. So they can take their time, and they could even acknowledge that he made a mistake and suspend him, right? With Christian Wood, I think they should protect the optics of the outside public the most, because if he is someone that they might trade to not risk this happening again in the future and try to get some value back, then they shouldn't suspend him, because suspending him acknowledges from the inside, from the organization itself, that he refused to play, right? And that's not good for future trade talks, for future negotiations, and everything like that.
I agree with that.
I agree, too. It's not – there's too much, like, shadow games with what was reported last night. The more details that are coming out, Christian – you know, Silas tried to play Wood in the third quarter. He refused to come into the game. You suspend him, period, end of story. And trade him. He deserves to be traded at this point.
So what if you can't get anything good?
You're going to be able to get something good for a guy that is averaging 17 and 11 on the season from a team that could use him, and he's under contract for another year.
And it depends
on what the definition of something good is.
But if there's attitude concerns, do you think any contender would bite at that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It depends on the team. It depends on the team for me. I think every team is in a very different position right now. And because some teams need bigs, some teams don't.
Right.
You look at like a team like Boston that is kind of needing a guy like that could just change something. I mean, I don't know if Boston would bite because they're dealing with a lot already. But that's a team that I could see maybe using a big. You also think of a team like, I mean, we've talked about the Hornets. You know, maybe the Hornets could use a guy like Christian Wood. But, you know, there's just so – I don't know if trading him right now in the next week is really going to do you much good, because you want – at least with the Harden thing, because I feel like that's an easy comparison here, just because, you know, there's a lot of similarities to it. But with the Harden trade, that whole deal was – basically, like, when that press conference that he had happened, the trade was nearly done already. Like, that press conference didn't do anything to hurt his value. Christian Wood is still with the Rockets, and he hasn't been, you know, on the way out yet. Like, there still has to be a deal or two that are being construed for him at the moment. And right now, his value took a dip last night. So they do need time to potentially build that value. And the next 24 hours are going to be super important, because if Christian Wood doesn't play in the game in Philly, then we have an issue. But I think if you want to say, you know what, it was a one-game thing, we're ready to move on, I'll play in Philly and, like, we'll move on from the situation, then you can be like, okay, you know, we have Christian Wood at least for the foreseeable future. And then if we have the option to trade him at the trade deadline, you take it. Because I think it's getting to a point now where, you know, like literally, I think we said this two episodes ago in the Year in Review podcast about how in 2022, these next 4 months are going to be about if Wood and Şengün can coexist, because they don't have enough time on the court. But I think what Christian Wood proved last night is that investment might not be worth it.
Yeah, and I would also say that from this point on, I think it's become too much of a risk to view Christian Wood as someone who should be here past the deadline. I think no matter what, the deadline is the last point where you have to trade him, just because ever since he's been here, it's always been about him. And on a rebuilding team, you want the focus to be on your young guys and on the group rather than one individual, right? And I believe that Christian Wood, his whole like persona of of demanding the ball, of thinking he's the best, of trying to be a leader, of trying to pick the ball up in clutch time and do it himself. I don't think that's healthy for a rebuild. I think it would be healthier to teach these guys, an example, down the stretch to play actual basketball, to run plays, to work hard on defense. And Christian Wood has been the total opposite of that thus far. And I don't think the upside of keeping him when we are contending is worth what he's doing to the team environment and possibly team development right now.
When the cons outweigh the pros, you trade Christian Wood. And I think last night was the beginning of the cons beginning to outweigh the pros. And that doesn't mean trade him today. Doesn't mean trade him tomorrow either. But when you look at the long-term view of this team, you have Alper and Şengün. You have the top of the draft looking really heavy with big. And at the end of the day, Christian Wood just isn't on the same timeline as this. You know, just because Christian Wood, this is what we've seen from him in a year and a half, doesn't mean that signing him was a mistake. Doesn't mean that it was unsuccessful, even though the Rockets haven't been very successful since signing him. But, you know, it gets to a point where I think the losing streak has a lot to do with Christian Wood's frustrations. I think just the way that he's used is not correct, because also they don't have the right personnel to bring the best out of Christian Wood. Christian Wood operates best, and Prodigy, I know you're a big guy about this. You agree with a lot of what I'm about to say. You know, he works best with a point guard and playing in the pick and roll. Having him ISO and, you know, throw up a three-point shot is not his biggest strength. He is a guy that operates best with a point guard, and the Rockets have not had a consistent point guard out there for Christian Wood to play off of. Kevin Porter is the closest thing to a point guard that's played for the Rockets this season, and he's been out for about half or most of the games already. So putting him in the second unit without Kevin Porter, without Jalen Green, when your lead guard is Josh Christopher, there's no one that's able to create for him. And that's why I think you saw part of what Christian Wood had there yesterday, because if you don't have a point guard for Christian Wood, he's just ineffective. And the Rockets haven't been able to give him the right tools to showcase his peak value, and I think he's frustrated about that part of the situation as well.
And that impacts what the timeline is. I know it's easy to look at his age and see, oh, he's only 26 years old. He could totally be here in his prime when our young guys start hitting their stride. But I believe that Christian Wood's timeline doesn't match who wants to win right now, who gets really frustrated from losing. And it's tough to keep a guy like that, because he's not going to be happy. And all of a sudden, you're trying to rush things and you're trying to maybe win early, too early, to match his desires. And I think trading him for whatever return you can get, if it's good enough, would also ease some of the tension on the teams. Maybe, I know you want these guys to try and win, but you don't want these guys to try and win at all costs and create a toxic work environment when they don't. And the fact that Christian Wood wants to win right now means if you keep him, you can't really afford to maybe things go wrong and you are bad another year. You know, his age doesn't match his actual timeline, because I don't think he's willing to sit through
a rebuild. Yeah, my Prodigy, anything else to add before we swap out speakers?
I'm good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, we appreciate you, Prodigy. Thank you so much for coming on at a normal time for you, since you're in Europe, but and an early time for us here. But we appreciate you coming on and dropping your take.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right, now we're going to bring Don Knock from Apollo Houston to drop his knowledge and takes. DK, Don Hollywood, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Thanks for having me, as always. So I wrote down some notes of all projects up here, because y'all kind of went through a lot. Just in terms of the Christian Wood kind of trade situation, Kelly Eco was on a podcast or a some sort of app with Jake Fisher last week, and he said that Stone would be looking for probably 2 first-round picks in return for Christian Wood. When we did our pod on Thursday, we kind of mentioned some of the Christian Wood as a leader stuff, and you know, Christian Wood, how he's viewed internally in the team, and a lot of the stuff that I've heard and talked to people about is that is the case. He's really looked at as the guy. When he had the discussions with Armani and Jalen, like he was approaching those as, you know, this is kind of quote unquote my team. But also I heard that the team was not looking to move him as of Thursday, as of that time. Obviously, you know, a lot of things have transpired since Thursday that really changed the way that this situation is going to have to be handled. Personally, for me, I think that they do need to suspend him. Yeah, you're going to get into the mix of, did the team be fully forthcoming about whether he wanted to go back into the game or not? You know, even the report of Fagan, which was, you know, probably the most team-friendly reporting, said that he, like, quote-unquote, expressed hesitancy about going back in the game. And, you know, that really told me all I need to know. And, you know, on that note as well, Ali Khan and Adam Spillane just tweet out again that, based on their reporting and sourcing, that Christian Wood refused to go back into the game. So, you know, I understand, like, for full provability and things like that, like, as media members, you know, we can't know that 100% for sure. But if that was the case, I think the team has no choice other than to suspend him, because you can't have a guy basically throwing a mutiny in the middle of your season like that, especially a guy who, you know, has said, I want to be the franchise guy, I want to lead this team. And that's just not behavior that you can have out of a leader. And, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. switching to him, when the team traded for him, it was literally coming off of a similar incident in Cleveland. And, you know, you can say that the Cleveland coaching staff wasn't equipped to deal with a player like Kevin Porter Jr. the way Coach Lucas is and things of that nature. But, you know, from what it sounds like, right, they'll call it a spirited discussion. It sounds like, you know, Coach Lucas was coaching Kevin Porter Jr. very hard. And when you have a guy that you know is volatile like that, when you coach him hard, you need to have this type of reaction needs to be in your mind as one of the directions that it can go, right? Because it's already happened before. You know, with that said, I think Kevin Porter Jr. is in the heat of competition. He reacted poorly to them telling him that he's not going to go back in the game, and he got frustrated with that. You know, drives home, realizes he messed up, calls the team back and says, hey, look, guys, you know, I was super heated. I messed up. I'm sorry. I want to tell my teammates I'm sorry. I can get on board with that, you know, with them giving him another chance. With Christian Wood, kind of like what you said, Jeremy, you know, he checked out of that Warriors game. He checked out of this game. I don't know if just because of his stature in the team, other guys are going to take cues from him in a way that they aren't taking cues from KPJ at this time. I think they may need to be looking even more into moving him than they were before. But with that said, you know, if they can't pull the trigger on a trade right now, I think that's not the end of the world. But again, I think that's why you need to take some sort of other disciplinary action against him, just to know that, like, what happened last night was unacceptable. And, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. as well, you know, he apologized and everything like that. That's great. But he needs to face some disciplinary action as well, because, again, you can't just leave the stadium. You need to stay there with your guys. And if you're not going to go back in the game, at least be there supporting them. And, you know, to Christian Wood's credit, you know, he did stay on the bench. He was, you know, up and cheering from what we heard from Jonathan Sanford last night in his Twitter space. But, you know, it was overall not a great day in Rockets history. And hopefully we can start picking up the pieces from this and, you know, get back to Jalen Green being successful and Şengün being successful when he comes back with his ankle injury.
Don, couple things. Yeah. First of all, congrats to Christian Wood staying on the bench, cheering on his teammates when we're getting blown out by 30 points. If they trade Wood, which I think they do within the next week, they better get a hell of a lot more than 2 number 1 picks, because he's going to be traded to a contender. I want viable.
Well, Mike, why would a team trade more than 2 first-round picks for a guy that quit on his team?
Well, because first of all, you need salary filler because he makes $14 million this year. I'm saying if I'm Stone, we talked about this last night before all of this news broke. This team needs a defensive anchor more than anything else at this point. if you're moving Wood, you better give me a viable, ready to play now big man, which is what they desperately need. They haven't had that over the past 2 years.
Yeah, and you know, just to that point, right? This weekend I had off, and so I spent a lot of my time rewatching the last couple of games, and you could see the defensive attention to detail, I'll say, from Christian Wood starting to slide as early as like the Pacers game.
Yep.
You know, that's when Miles Turner was getting,
came back.
Yeah. Well, Jalen Green came back, and also Jayshon Tate went out. And you know, Jayshon Tate's a huge part of the defensive communication. And you know, Jalen Green is a rookie, right? He's not going to be as polished defensively as some of these other guys. But you know, if you're going to be that defensive anchor, you need to be able to make up for other guys' mistakes. And you know, Jalen Green wasn't doing anything that was just totally blowing the Rockets' coverage up. He looked okay at point of attack. I'm sure he wasn't communicating probably at the level he needed to be. And I think that was touched on by Jayshon Tate last night as well, that the defensive communication is not there. But you know, just Christian Wood as a rim protector, Christian Wood as like a weak side shot blocker. It just seemed like he wasn't locked in, and he wasn't as crisp as he should have been. And so, you know, that's going to be an issue if they, you know, let's say they don't trade Christian Wood, right? That's going to be an issue with the pairing of him and Şengün going forward. Is one of these guys is going to have to make a leap defensively to make them a viable tandem.
Yeah, I mean, but rebounding wise, they're 27th in the league. Christian Wood is not an interior defender. He never has been. He never will be. He's not a defensive anchor type of guy. And so if I'm moving a Christian Wood and or an Eric Gordon, but that's a conversation for a different day, you've got to get some ready-to-play now NBA talent, especially on the big man side. I don't think Şengün is that defensive anchor either, Don. You know, I think he's intriguing as a big man, obviously. But he's not going to be that, you know, DeAndre Ayton, Jared Allen type of guy down low that your defense can look to and be like, if I get beat, I've got a guy at the rim that can help save the play, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm going to try to get this back to kind of the point of hand, because as much as we love talking to Şengün here, that's not really – he's like the last guy that's really involved with all of this.
Yeah.
But – I guess when it comes to Christian Wood, I'm curious, because you mentioned Don, how you know, his stature among the team is that he is a leader, he is a guy that people look up to. Is this going to be a mutiny against the coaching staff? Like that's part of what I'm curious about. Like, are people really going to start turning on Silas and Lucas and all of these guys? Because or are they just going to move on? And I think the next couple of games are going to be key to figuring out whether it's going to be the former or the latter. I think Josh Christopher commented on like an Instagram post, like kind of defending Kevin Porter last night, at least. Because the thing is, what I thought was really disheartening to see, the most disheartening thing to see last night, is that once this news about Kevin Porter came out, everyone was like, oh yeah, obviously, like, he is crazy, he is this, he is that, you know, and there's just a lot of negative towards him. And I'm not saying that it was justified or not, but it was such an easy, like, I don't know, it was just easy to like bash a guy that, you know, obviously in Houston, and I'm sure most of this came from like non-Rockets fans or people that don't follow the team as closely as we do, but it was a lot of, oh, wow, you know, troubled guy has another character issue, which, you know, now we've gotten to know Kevin Porter Jr. and we know how important the Rockets are to him. And we know, you know, we know his story better than the national fan base or the national media. And it was just really sad to see all of this negative, like they were using past incidents to you know, dog him now. And I think that was kind of unfair. But I'm curious to see if this is going to divide the team, if this is going to do it. And to be honest, I don't think it will, because I think this team is composed of enough people who are just fighting to stay in the NBA and that recognize the job at hand, and they're going to rise above this drama that doesn't surround them. I think what happens today is the team is probably going to meet. They're going to try to squash everything that they can before they move on to this road trip starting in Philadelphia on Monday. That's what has to get done. But if it doesn't get done and this lingers beyond today, then I think we could see issues here. And I really hope that's not the case, but I'm starting – because here's my thing. I'm big on Kevin Porter, and I'm big on Steven Silas. And I'm not high on them still, but I'll say this. Ever since Kevin Porter came to Houston, I thought that he would be the answer at point guard at least. And we even saw as recent as yesterday, James Posey, NBA veteran, wrote an article about him saying how he is the truth. He is like the real deal. And when you have, you know, verified NBA veterans saying that about a guy, I tend to believe that's true. I think NBA players are the best source of knowledge that you can get, especially a guy that's seen as much as James Posey has in the NBA. And so I think when it comes to Kevin Porter, he is the truth. So I really don't want to just write him off. And I don't think he will. I do think he will bounce back from this, especially knowing that he was apologetic to the situation and given his past comments about John Lucas and Houston. I think that maybe, honestly, part of him leaving was a way to kind of clear his head and maybe in a way to, I need to just get away from here and, you know, clear my head. And I hope that that's what leaving the game did for him yesterday. I hope that he did it for a positive reason as opposed to a negative reason. So to me, I think, yes, what he did was wrong, but I do think that he will move on from it. And I hope Christian Wood does too. You know, I don't wish any ill will on anybody, even if they do, you know, make mistakes and do stupid, irrational things or whatever. I think that they need to be treated as, you know, we're behind them and we wish the best for them, whether it's in Houston or not. Yeah, but what the team needs to do in the next couple of days is they need to show that they've moved on from this. And it starts today with the behind-the-scenes stuff, and then it starts on the court Monday against Philly.
Yeah, so, you know, touching on a few things you said there, right? First things first, like everyone – well, most people in here are probably Rockets fans, right? And so as Rockets fans, we don't want to see the team do bad. We don't want to see the team, you know, in the news – like this. So I'm sure everyone wants to get, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. for sure. And if Christian Wood, if they elect to bring him back to the team, we want to see them, you know, be on the team and be successful if they're going to be here. In terms of, is this going to divide the team? You know, Steven Silas has basically been the biggest Christian Wood defender that there's been, you know, in media or otherwise, you know, in the fandom. And, you know, Steven Silas really stuck his neck out for Christian Wood. They had a relationship from Charlotte and he brought him in, you know, kind of knowing what the talent was there. I think just the way that this played out, I think the risk due to those circumstances would be, do you have a Christian Wood versus everyone else type of scenario where, you know, Christian Wood didn't go back in the game. Christian Wood has really been Silas's guy. And, you know, if they stick with Christian Wood, then you have that dynamic kind of playing out. I don't think Silas has, you know, quote unquote, lost the locker room just off this incident, because again, you know, Christian Wood missed the COVID test, right? That's nothing Coach Silas did. And they had to, you know, enact discipline for that purpose. You know, how Christian Wood handled that, yeah, I think that was not good, but I don't think any of the other guys are going to be angry at Coach Silas because, you know, Steven or because Christian Wood, you know, broke that team rules. They have to go do those COVID tests, right? It's not like they're going to get special treatment and they can just miss a COVID test and, you know, that'd be okay. With KPJ, like we said, you know, him and Coach Lucas, they have their relationship. That's kind of understood as, you know, separate from how he coaches everyone else. That's been a big thing with Coach Lucas, is that he has a distinct relationship with each of these guys and treats them differently and coaches them differently. So I don't think, especially with, you know, how well the team played in that 7-game win streak. And even since then, you know, they've been on this recent losing streak, but up until now, a lot of the guys have been know, some of them have been playing well. Some of them have been, you know, very positive. Like we saw Josh Christopher and Jalen Green interacting with the fans and still being able to be positive during the Miami game and stuff like that. And when Christian Wood went out, you still saw some guys that were playing hard. You still got some guys that were executing the game plan. A lot of young guys got into that game, and, you know, that's their chance to play. And with having this many young guys on the team, I think that's going to be their focus is like, hey, I'm trying to make my way in this league, and I need to do whatever I can to make sure I stick and have a prominent role and get my next contract. And, you know, having the team be so tiered in terms of you have these vets that are 25 and plus, then you have all these guys that are, you know, 19 and below. I don't think they're really in a position to throw a mutiny like that. They have to make their way in the league still. And the vets, conversely, they've already made their way in the league, and they don't – well, many of them were on board with Coach Silas. Like DJ Augustine's a guy that's been very highly respectful of Coach Silas. Daniel Tice is a guy who, you know, he sits for 10 games at a time and comes back and, you know, just does everything the right way, a consummate professional, stuff like that. So I think you have guys here that because of those conditions – you're not going to see the team just totally give up on Coach Silas. They didn't give up on him when they lost, you know, 15 games in a row. So I don't think this is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back in that sense.
So you think the team can move on from this?
Quickly. Yes. Maybe not.
And I hope so too.
Maybe not quickly, but I think they're going to handle what they need to handle with KPJ and Christian Wood, and then kind of segment that off from the rest of the team, let the other guys really stick to basketball and stick to, you know, growing their game and doing what they need to do in that aspect. And then, yeah, they'll have to move on. Will it be quick? No. If they end up having to trade Christian Wood behind this, I think it will linger until that trade is made. If they're end up going to stick with Christian Wood, then I think maybe not that they'll get over it quicker, but, you know, they're going to have to bring him back into the fold a lot quicker and not leave him ostracized, because if that guy's going to be around your team, you can't just have him, you know, sulking and pouting the way he was last night. You need to have him come in and be engaged and be part of the team.
My guess is Kevin Porter doesn't travel on the road trip. That's my guess. And the road trip is a 2-game road trip. So they play in Philly on Monday, in Washington on Wednesday. They return to Houston to play the Mavericks on Friday. That might be maybe a time where you look at Kevin Porter Jr. and say, maybe, hey, come back. And then with Christian Wood, you know, obviously, to be like, we're probably, knowing our luck, probably as soon as this podcast ends, we'll figure out like what happens with them, because that's just kind of our luck. But
again,
I know how that goes.
I think whether or not, you know, the disciplinary stuff is fixed or not, whether there is any further disciplinary action, because I argued earlier in the podcast that, you know, is there enough to suspend Christian Wood here? Because Steven Silas called him, benching him in the second half, a coach's decision. And I don't know if you can really suspend a guy after saying it was your decision. And then you also look at the fact he was punished for missing that COVID test earlier on Saturday. So I think that there is, I think there's still a gray area. Obviously, knowing that, he refused to sub in, that's a different story. But if Silas told the media it was a coach's decision, then it's, you know, it adds a lot of murkiness. And there is a lot of murkiness to the situation. We only know a fraction of it. And we only know a fraction of it from people that are telling, you know, so this is a retelling of a retelling of a retelling at this point. And so we don't know a whole lot of the details, and we still don't. And even today, when we do get more details, we still won't have a lot of the details. So I think it's important to note that and not to draw conclusions immediately based off of the limited knowledge we have. But I think, or at least if we do know what the facts are versus what the opinions are. And I think that to me, I'm a big guy on that because I'm a journalism guy. So I'm very much, this is fact, this is opinion. And I hope that we were able to draw the line between those today. So DK, thank you so much for coming on. Any last thoughts before we sign off here?
No, just, you know, thanks for having me. Y'all do a great show, man. Love coming on with y'all anytime I get a chance. So,
all right. Thanks, Don Hollywood. Appreciate
you, Don.
Peace. Be safe.
Real quick, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. You asked are they going to turn on Silas? I don't think it's Silas. I will say this. I think there's a chance that this roster, I think the organization is losing control operationally of this team, is my thought.
In terms of what?
I think if they don't suspend Wood after refusing to go into a game, that's a problem. I think the fact that all of this, going back to the leak, that they've got internal problems that they can't keep in-house business in-house. I think the John Wall thing is another example that when they have problems, I don't think they're decisive enough yet. I think that's a massive problem. We don't need to get into John Wall. I'm using that as an example that I think they're losing control of their internal operations. And I think it's a question of, can a young coach like a Steven Silas right the ship? I think they're not going to give up. I don't think the players are going to give up on a guy like Silas, but does Silas have enough pelts on the wall as a figure of speech?
I think he does.
Handle this situation. That verdict is out for me, but I think this is a front office problem. If they don't handle these two situations correctly, that's where I think this thing can go off the rails even more than it is right now.
There just needs to be clarity within the team. There doesn't need to be any. The Rockets, like we've mentioned before, the Rockets don't owe anyone an explanation. They don't owe anyone an explanation. As long as the team is aware of what's going on and they correctly explain, like, this is what happened, this is why we are doing this, that's what I care about at the end of the day. I don't need to know what's going on in the inside world of the Rockets. I mean, that sounds funny, but I really don't need to know every single little detail. As long as the players are all on the same page, that's what's important. And I think that there are enough young players that are just hungry and just love playing basketball and are recognizing their dream of playing in the NBA, that I think there's enough of that youthful energy on this team to where they will get past this hopefully quickly. I don't think there's a whole lot of guys that are going to be too pressed about this, at least in their own right. I don't like Jalen Green. What last night should have been about Jalen Green playing one of his best games as a professional. And unfortunately it wasn't the case, but like, there's still a lot to like about this Rockets team with Jalen Green and without Bryn Şengün, who's going to be out for hopefully not too long, but at least for a week. So there's those two guys to get excited about. Kevin Porter's still someone to be excited. Look, this team is still exciting and it has a bright future. Like, I don't think this derails that, but it does bring up an obstacle, and obstacles are meant to happen for rebuilding teams. When you lose, there's a lot of, when you lose, there's a lot of negativity that surrounds that. And it's difficult, especially for a guy like Christian Wood that hasn't really been in a winning position ever.
It's difficult, but you're paying him a lot of money to help be a leader through those difficult times. And he hasn't been that since he's been here.
He has shown
on a global view, I should say.
I want to word this very carefully.
Right.
He has shown that he is not a leader 100% of the time.
Sure.
What Don mentioned is that the Rockets do value Christian Wood and see him as a leader, but what was last night was the total opposite of that.
Yep.
And there needs to be more consistency when you have that leadership role placed upon you. And I feel as if, yes, I think to your point, Mike, with John Wall, with Christian Wood, there's a lot of, weird stuff thrown around about, who should be the role models for this team. And there are enough role models, both from the coaching staff and in the players, in the players' quarters of, I think there are plenty of those guys that can help mentor those young guys. And I do think there is enough to where they can get past this. I don't think this is a lost cause or anything like that. But these next 48 hours are going to be interesting, to say the least. And
let me ask you something real quick, because I know we want to sign off. When you say there's enough guys to mentor these young players, you sure about that?
Yeah.
Because I think that it's very scary that last night happened the way it happened, or at least as it's being reported, with said guys that were there. Because in my eyes, there's Eric Gordon, DJ Augustine, and John Lucas to mentor the young guys? Am I missing
Everybody with experience has potential to bestow their experience and knowledge on any player. Like, for instance, you have Daniel Theiss, who has played in Europe, can help a guy like an Usman Garuba, who has also played in Europe. Same with Alperen Şengün. You look at a guy like DJ Augustine, who's been through hell and back through the NBA and has seen a lot of things in his 13-plus year career. Eric Gordon, the same. And those guys, I think, are positive to the team. David Nwaba has clearly had an impact as well, especially with Kevin Porter and his defensive improvements. So there is a lot of guys on this roster that do help each other with that. I think Garrison Matthews is also seen as a leader as well in the locker room. He's a little bit older than most of the guys on the team, but he also came from an undrafted position, and he was fighting for his spot in the NBA, and it still is until just about a few weeks ago. Guys like Dacian Nix and Trevlin Queen can benefit from a guy like that. And then you have the coaching staff with John Lucas, who can help Kevin Porter through all of his, you know, turmoils that he faces, and he has shown positive through that. He says that the Rockets saved his life, so there is a lot of guys. Gerald Green, another guy that's seen a lot of. So I could go on and on and on, and we'd be here for another hour explaining to the listeners how much knowledge can be bestowed upon the young parts of the team. So I don't think that, I think there's enough to where this will snuff itself out, but what Steven Silas's biggest test as a head coach, at least that we've seen, is he needs to be able to move on from this quickly, because it's common for teams to deal with arguments, whether not even just losing teams deal with it, winning teams deal with it. We've seen, you know, Kevin Durant and Draymond Green in a year where they went to the championship after two titles together, they were still arguing. Like, getting into arguments is not an uncommon thing in professional sports, but how you respond to it separates you from the good ones. And how the Rockets respond to this is going to be important. And how Silas does too, it will affect, you know, whether he is the answer for this team at the head coaching position beyond this season, I think. I think Steven Silas is once again coaching for his job, and it has nothing to do with the on the court product. It's the off the court product.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I just, you talk about, you know, in the chat, is Steven Silas a leader of men? It's a massive question, you know, cause that's what it takes, you know? And I think that you want these young guys to have a clear leader in the locker room. I don't know who that is. You know, I think DJ, we don't know any of these guys personally. We don't know if DJ Augustine is a good leader. We think he is. But I think Silas, how he handles this is a massive question. And I think that when I say trade Christian Wood or, you know, cut Kevin Porter Jr., any of that, I think this event is a interesting opening for the franchise to start over at that position like a Christian Wood. I think it's time to trade him. I think it's time to move him. I think the roster needs a shakeup. And we'll see how the franchise responds.
There's a whole lot more to this situation. Yep. And we could be on here for an hour more, but believe it or not, it's a busy day for us. So I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. We're super appreciative to the 30 plus listeners that are listening to us live here on Spotify Green Room, spending their Sunday morning with us. Hope you got your nice little cup of coffee and a little bit of waking up here with us here at the Dream Take. Be sure to follow us at the Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN for all things Houston Rockets, and head to our website, thedreamshake.com, for all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. We're going to be following the story throughout the next few days. Every single bit of information, as soon as we get it, we'll put up there at the Dream Shake. We'll be live again tomorrow night after the Sixers game. Talk more about this situation, the updates from it, and hopefully, you know, maybe in some weird universe, the Rockets get a win tomorrow night. That would be, I think, the easiest way to move on from this is to start winning some games. Not necessarily a guarantee, but hopefully a nice, pleasant surprise to start this two-game road trip. But be sure to follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW Podcast _MB.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner. Special shout out to Prodigy and Don Knock from Apollo for joining us this morning. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcast so that you don't miss a single episode of The Dream Take. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode. And until next time, go Rockets!